life thing around this afternoon, and I hope a lot of it came your way. Tonight, through the following Sunday nights, and with a little bit of a different twist next Sunday night, because it'll be our kickoff to VBS, we're emphasizing prayer. Now, there's a reason for that. It's not because I think you guys have never heard about prayer, by all means. But if you ever had one of those calls, please pray. There's been an accident. And then the name is revealed, maybe some of the details, some of the circumstances, but you don't know everything. All you know is that there's a very, very serious situation you need to pray. And then those times when you're sit down and the meal has been prepared and you're ready to eat and then everybody looks at each other. And I don't know what your system is. Maybe you do the thumbs up thing. Or maybe, if there's a preacher there, you always default to the preacher, that he's the one that has to pray over the meal. That's another form of prayer. Or maybe somebody says, you know what, I got a big decision. There's a circumstance at work, and there's this job thing, and I've got to decide what I'm going to do, come or go, move or stay, that type of thing, and they ask you to pray. Well, those are only three instances of circumstances that we can identify in why we pray, when we should pray, and maybe some about the little emergency, or so, I should say the emotional connection with that prayer. But it's all spiritual. Some we would call it probably a little more minor than the other, because of the urgency of the circumstance, but it's still very, very important. And it's crucial that we understand that. Prayer is one of those things that, almost like in a family, you can take so much for granted because you see that person all the time, whether it's your brother and sister, or whether it's your mom or dad, or whether it's a spouse. You see them all the time. It's not like you haven't seen them in years or anything like that. So it's really easy to overlook that there are times when you really need to start paying attention instead of just coexisting in the same house. So tonight, we want to go through prayer once again. We're trying to hit that nerve, step on that pedal, if you will, push the right button so that we are not guilty of not praying the way that we should. The problem with that is it seems to almost at the very first of it begins to build up some pressure. I could always tell that when my dad wanted to talk to us about things around the house, by the way, that he called us into the room that he was in. And there were other times that if your middle name was ever interjected into the request, you knew that it wasn't about, let's talk it over, we're going to do something about it. And that was never, ever a good situation. But it did cause you to want to pray. You probably have all heard the story, or I've heard several stories like this. A little kid gets in trouble, his mom's hauling him out of church. He goes, pray, pray. He wants the congregation to bail him out in prayer. Well, there's a lot of stories, a lot of humor and all of that stuff, but tonight what we need to deal with is where we're at, where we want to go, and what God wants to do with us in prayer. Prayer cannot become an obligation and a duty only to the Christian. Listen, I grew up with that kind of stuff, and you did too. There were jobs that were appointed to you. I don't care if you call them chores. I don't care if you call them jobs. But there are things that you had to do for the benefit of somebody else's satisfaction. God is not up there asking us to pray so that he can be happy. It's not. God's not saying, pray or else I'm going to have a bad day. God is saying, I want you to pray for many, many reasons, and most of them are for you. Believe it or not, most of the benefits are going to become for you and I. There are three things I want to remind you of that we were talking about and we wanted to do every Sunday night that we can. One is that we want to simply present the challenge of prayer. We want to once again make there sure that wherever prayer is on your priority list or wherever it is on your to-do list, and if it's under a stack of papers that you pull it out and you put it on top of the stack again, that if it's something that you've failed to do, neglected to do, whatever category you want to put that in, that you bring it back to importance and let it be almost right there with number one, unless something else is crowding it out that's more important in the life of Christ. That's what we want to do by presenting it. The other thing is we want to teach on it. I can remember first getting saved, and the first thing I knew to do was, number one, I was supposed to go to church. Number two, I was supposed to get a Bible and read it. Number three, I was supposed to pray. And you know what? I had number one down because it was a building. It was where I got totally connected with these people spiritually. I was excited about going. There was something about it. It was a magnet that drew me to that church because it just had a spiritual significance. The Bible, I'd never read the Bible before. I didn't know I had an Old Testament and a New Testament. I started in the front of the book, got pretty bored in a hurry. All I know is God was just killing people left and right, and I couldn't even say their names. I didn't know there was an Old Testament and a New Testament. It got pretty good when I got over in the middle of the book. And praying, it was so difficult. My goodness. I mean, talking to anybody is difficult. And I grew up with four brothers. We never wanted to talk in the first place. All we did was look at each other and blame each other for being in our space. And now there was this God who wanted me constantly in his space. And I thought, this is just so different. I had to learn an awful lot of things. And sometimes we need to relearn those things. So that's where we're going tonight. So here's where I want to start out. I want to start out by talking about the main challenges to prayer. Because there are challenges, there are obstacles, there are hurdles. There's things that oppose us in our prayer life. Everybody knows this. First of all, there's certainly not the theology of prayer. Because even if you don't know a whole lot, you know this much. It's pretty important to pray. There's something within you. When you got born again, when you gave your heart to Christ, there's something that converted to going, you know what? I have this real close connection with this God, and there's something about this that I want to be involved in. It's called prayer, whether I know fully defined by definition what it is and application or not, that I know that I want to stay connected. So the theology isn't the problem. The rewards certainly isn't the problem either. Because if any of you have prayed and God has answered that prayer, I mean distinctly and definitely, without a doubt, it wasn't a guess, but you know, boy, that is rewarding. When you pray for someone else and God answers that prayer and they come back to you and they say, thank you for praying, that is rewarding. So we understand that as well. I think the biggest challenge is the practice of prayer. It's doing it. Listen, everybody in here knows we ought to be eating better. But do we practice good eating? Everybody in here needs to know that we should be exercising, but are we practicing exercising? Everybody knows that we should be more disciplined in this area, that area, do this, that, and the other, but do we do it? The answer is either yes or no. And I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm just telling you we need to understand this is important, and we need to make sure that we start connecting dots when it comes to applying our personal spiritual life in prayer. Matthew 26:41 says this, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Who said that? Jesus. Where did he say it? In the garden of? Yeah, and you know the whole situation there too, wasn't it? Can you imagine? Now, I got to tell you, it's real easy to sit out there in those Easter productions and watch Peter, James, and John fall asleep on Jesus while he's over there literally sweating blood because he knows he's fixing to be crucified, and he's asking his three cohorts, probably the three most dependable disciples, to come and pray for him, and he finds them asleep three times. Wouldn't you just be appalled if you ask somebody, will you please pray? I have an urgent prayer need. Let me share it with you. And halfway through that, they just slump over and start snoring. Now, I know that sounds absolutely absurd and ridiculous, and it is, but that's probably what we need to understand is kind of the truest picture of how we do through this. He says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So if we've identified what? That there's a spiritual part of us that really wants to pray, constantly wanting to pray. That's not the problem. There's the rewards, there's the theology, but when we practice that, it feels good because the spirit is engaged, but it's the flesh. So most of the time, if there are obstacles to our prayer life, where are they going to be found? They're going to be found in the way that we live our life, whether we're dedicated in our time, whether we're purposeful with our prayers. So let's go down that road just for a second, okay? A survey, Discipleship Journal readers, they ranked the greatest spiritual challenges to them, and this is what they came up with. The first obstacle was materialism. Now, I don't use that word a whole lot, but I know what it means. It's when you got stuff. And when you got stuff, whether you drive it, you live in it, or you're wearing it, or you're playing it on your thing, your whatever you listen to music going now. I started to say stereo. That's so old. Don't even do that anymore. Everything's with the phone. And if you got the greatest technological wonders that are sitting around you and you just love it, it's going to be a problem. We, as a culture, are preoccupied with things. Now, you look in the Old Testament, and you go, Daniel was this incredible man of prayer. And you just don't want to go, well, of course he was. What else did he do? They didn't have cable. They didn't have TV. They didn't have a phone. He couldn't Google anything. And, I mean, look at what was going on. Look at the community he lived in, for crying out loud. I mean, why wouldn't he be this incredible champion of prayer? But you are fooling yourself if you think that he was a great man of God because he didn't have choices. Matter of fact, he turned down some of the greatest choices. You talk about materialism. He lived under the king, and the king was ready to give him anything, any food he wanted, any provisions he needed, because he served the king, and he found favor in the eyes of the king. That's why when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, that the king was worried about his good friend Daniel. So we know that we need to throw that out of the circumstances. Materialism is always a solution for when we need God if we are preoccupied with our stuff. Here's the thing, and instead of praying, you know what? Most of the time, we depend on these things. And the sad thing is those things are going to perish, whether it's your health or whether it's your wealth. It's going to disappear, one of these things. And you're going to look back and you go, I wasted so many days when I could have been doing something a lot more important. A lot more important. And if you're waiting for it to be connected emotionally, then you need to start looking at it spiritually, because if you're looking for the emotions, they usually follow the spiritual. Because the emotions that precede the spiritual are usually going to lead you down the wrong road. So as we look at that, we understand if you have financial problems and you're bent this direction, you know what you do? You need help. You don't pray. You go to the bank and you get a loan. Or you go to a buddy and you borrow some money. If you're sick, you don't pray. You go to the doctor. See, the whole thing is backwards. How many of you, and don't raise your hands, because all of us would have to raise our hands, it's that embarrassing moment when you go through all of these things that you think you can do, you should do, and then you finally end up realizing, you know what, I should have started with prayer. Why in the world did I avoid God in the first place? This came to a dead end. This was a dead end. That didn't work out. That fell through the cracks. And then you finally end up with God, and you're going, why didn't I start here? The second thing they found out was pride. Pride is a direct enemy, and I'll use that, it's a strong word, is a direct enemy to prayer. It is contrary to prayer. Let me read you a verse of scripture here, Luke, the 18th chapter, 10 through 14, because prayer is a powerful symbol of humility. There were two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other was a publican. Now, I had to look these things up when I first start reading the Bible. The Pharisee was a very religious man. A publican was a tax collector. He ripped his own people off for personal gain. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I just thank you that I'm not like other men. They are extortioners. They are unjust, adulterers. And even as this tax collector, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And this tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus goes on to say, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased and embarrassed, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Prayer is one of the greatest ways to get yourself before God, and you are allowed to just expose your humility to him. Because I'm going to tell you what else will get exposed, and that'll be your pride. Pride will hurt you bad. I remember my senior year in high school, I just graduated, and I was young enough, the age thing, that I stayed in this baseball league during the summer. So I started playing on this team, and it was the year that I'd gotten saved. So God was doing some really cool things in my life. And on this team, I was the oldest, so I probably had a few more skills than everybody else, only because I was older. I was a little bit bigger size-wise. Most of these kids were 15, 16, 17 years old. I was 18 years old at that point. I mean, 3 years older than some of them. And I even started asking the coach if we could have prayer before the game. So I was leading prayer of the games and, you know, that type of thing. And then all of the college guys, a month later, got out of college and started coming home, and they started a brand new league called the Nash Carmichael League. Nash Carmichael was a famous baseball player. So they needed a catcher, so they came to me and said, hey, we need a catcher. And I just got wowed and wooed, you know what I'm saying? And I thought, wow, you know, these guys really need me. They really want me. So I said no and left the team that I was leading in prayer and had a position, and I had this kind of really cool thing that I was going there, and I was just young, and I was stupid, and I got my ego involved. And they stroked my ego a little bit, so I went over and played this other team, and it was a total disaster. Man, I hurt my knee. I got one hit the whole time I was there. I'm playing with these guys that throw the ball like 1,000 miles per hour quicker than I've ever seen it. My hit was a mistake, you know, and it was just amazing, and I was so embarrassed. I was where I was, and you know what it's called? It's called pride, ladies and gentlemen, and it will destroy everything that we do in prayer. The third thing is this. They link this as third. Self-centeredness. Listen, the focus in prayer is on God and not ourselves. Now, I understand that we have to be disciplined, and it's okay to ask for God to do things in our life. Prayer is a part of that. It's when we go to God with our request. It's when we go to Him and say, Lord, I need this. I got to make this big decision. What do you want me to do? Please bless me. There's nothing wrong with that when it's done the right way. But if you never let it get to go over it into intercession and praise and thanksgiving and worship, then you know what? Prayer is just only about you. Ever been one of those conversations and you're sharing something with somebody and they go, well, how are you doing? And you go, well, let me tell you, you know, I've had this, that, and the other this week and that week, you know, and you're kind of sharing a little bit because they've asked, and they go, yeah, I know how you feel. You know what happened to me? And the conversation just keeps going back to them. And you're going, I thought you asked about me. And that's the way it is when we just pray about ourselves. God would really like us to be mature enough to do the right thing. In the Old Testament, prayer was always accompanied with what? Sacrifice. We forget that at times. Prayer is an act of sacrifice. Now, if you wear sacrifice as a title of, oh, no, and it's boring, and you're going, yuck, and this is going to cost me something, you're never going to find those parts of prayer they call breakthrough. And you're never going to find those parts of prayer where you call blessing. You're never going to find those parts of prayer where you drift over into you just experience the anointing of God and the presence of God and the favor of God. Because if it's only about you and there's no sacrifice involved, I doubt you're really going to see that. Here's number four. You ready for this? Laziness. They said the fourth obstacle was laziness. I heard this a long time ago, that there was this story about a police officer that he was killed in action. And later on, they found out that the reason he died was unfortunate because he didn't wear his bulletproof vest. And the reason that he cited was that he was just too lazy to put it on. Now listen, I would never make fun of anybody in a tragic circumstance like that. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of us get wounded because we're too lazy to go to God in prayer and be armed with the armor of God. Let me take you to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, so let's just push the issue a little bit. The next time you are laying in bed and you've been trying to get comfortable and you haven't been able to go to sleep, but you finally get comfortable. And for me, man, it's on my left side because I got this one pillow against the headboard, and then I got the pillow that rests on my head, and my arms are underneath that. And then I got one pillow right between my legs because my legs get sweaty in the middle of the night and it feels sticky, so I put a pillow there. And then I take that other pillow and I just crunch it under my side there, and it's just tucked under there. I'm feeling real good. And then all of a sudden, I just feel that urge to pray. And I just go underneath my breath, are you kidding me, God? Are you serious? I just got comfortable. And it is a struggle. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you what. I have better odds at looking at a scantily clad woman and looking the other way. I'd be more successful in that situation than I am getting out of bed when I'm all comfy and getting up and praying. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. I know you thought I was perfect, but I'm not. But I am honest. Laziness is one of the most worst things in the world. Listen, I can understand getting busy. I can understand kind of getting caught up in things. I can understand the materialism thing. I can understand the pride issue. But laziness, come on. What is prayer going to cost you? God's not calling you to get out of bed and run a marathon. God's just asking you to get out of bed and get on your knees. Or God's asking you to get up 15 minutes earlier in the morning because, bless your heart, that 15 minutes of your beauty sleep just might kill you during the day if you don't get it. But He's saying, you know what? I wonder what else is going to die today because you didn't get up 15 minutes earlier because I asked you to. Now, that's called a guilt trip, but it's also called honesty. God says, you know what? You'll never understand the lengths that I went to bless your life It sure would be nice to know that I could count on you when I need you to be a blessing to others and into yourself because you're disciplined enough. Don't let being lazy get in the way. So how to preserve your prayer life? Five things real quick. Number one, you got to change your attitude about prayer. This is part of the teaching part. We have to change our attitude about prayer. Instead of this job, we've got to turn it into a privilege. We've got to turn it into an honor. I mean, literally, I don't know who your hero is. I don't know if you could put, number one, who would you love to meet? I don't know who would be on that list. But I know one thing. When it came down to the opportunity, you would count down the days, you would prepare yourself, you'd put out your clothes, you'd make sure there wasn't anything else on your schedule, and you would get there in a hurry. You'd make sure that it happened. That's all there is to it. And you know what? When we get to pray to our Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis, not once in a lifetime, but on a daily basis, you know what? We need to understand we are getting the opportunity of a lifetime on a daily basis. And it should be a privilege, and it should be an honor. It should be something we look forward to instead of something that, quite honestly, many times we dread. Instead, we need to step into it. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So what is your thought prayer concern, thought ideas when it comes to prayer? What is your mentality? How have you labeled this? Is this a job? Is this a recommendation? Is this something you have to do? Or is this something you look forward to? Romans 12:2 says this, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We need to change the way we think about praying and let it be something we look forward to. Number two, we need to recognize the need for prayer. I understand when people come up to us and they ask us to pray, and if there's some descriptions there, we understand that, but it goes far beyond that. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." If God will find you in prayer, most of the time you'll find yourself protected. You'll find yourself under the shield of authority of God the Father and not susceptible to the strategic attacks of the devil himself. It's amazing how that goes. Remember when you were a kid and you thought there was a monster under your bed? I don't know where that idea got planted, but it is. I mean, there's books that we talk about. You know, there's little kids and somebody, they create monsters. But you know what? The greatest circumstance to outdo any monster is the love and the protection and the presence of a parent. I have never known a kid, mine included, and now going into our granddaughter's life, that is worried about going to bed when her parents or her grandparents are in the room. I'm going to tell you, when God's with you, I don't care what Satan's throwing at you. I don't care what he's doing. I don't care what he's trying to do. He just doesn't have any success whatsoever because we're spending time in prayer. We need his guidance. Number three, we need to remove the things that interfere with prayer. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Now you need to start looking at your life and examining your life and deciding, do I need to change a few things? Matthew 6:24 says this, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and whatever's important on your life. I don't care if it's material things. I don't care if it's your schedule. I don't care if it's personal pleasures. I don't care if it's comfort. There are things that get between us and God, and you know, every now and then you just got to say, you know what? This is getting in the way. I've got to change this. I've got to do something about this. And listen, you don't have to do it my way or somebody else's way. Find your way. But get those things that interfere out of the way. I'll go way back in time, so nobody will think about I'm talking about any present TV viewing that you do right now. But I can remember when there was this sitcom called Will and Grace. Will and Grace was a sitcom that involved an awful lot of homosexuality. Now, not open sexuality on the screen, but there was a gay guy in there and all this other stuff, two gay guys and all this other stuff. And it amazed me at church how people would say, "I just can't wait to see it. It is so funny." And I thought, you got to be kidding me. Because here was the problem. I didn't have a problem that it was funny. I had a problem that the premise was homosexuality and its acceptance and its prevalence on that movie, that show, that it didn't matter as long as it was funny. I thought, you know what? You're letting that get in the way of your principles. How many things interfere with our discipline in prayer in the same way? Matthew 14 says this, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. This is Jesus. He always found time to pray. Luke, the 6th chapter, and it came to pass in those days that he went up to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Let me ask you, when was the last time you spent more than an hour in prayer? When was the last time you spent an hour in prayer? Hey, I'm not taking a survey tonight. This isn't about making anybody feel guilty if they can't say yes or no to that. I'm just asking you, when was the last time we were willing to spend that much time in prayer? Hey, I'll give another commercial for what we're trying to do through the whole month of June. And that is on Tuesday night, there's a prayer service in this building at 7 o'clock. And if you can at all possibly be here, just for 1 month, try to give those Tuesdays to God. And let's see what he'll do with that, okay? Luke, the 9th chapter, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, James, and John and went up to the mountain and prayed. Jesus preserved himself in prayer, and we need to preserve our prayer life also. Just one last thing that I want to share with you, and then I want us to have some moments of prayer here in the church tonight. You know what? Capture a burden. Capture a burden. Something that is special to you, that you hold personal, that you want to call it your own. Claim it. Make it yours. We have some ladies that meet here on Tuesday, and I'm just so just overwhelmed by their faithfulness. And they come here on Tuesday. They meet over here in the little room right over here, and they're always praying for missions and praying for people in the church. And you know what? They're so far under the radar that nobody ever sees them. Nobody really knows what they're doing, but I promise you that I don't know where all the pillars of this church is, but I guarantee you they're one of them. There's these wonderful ladies that come here on Tuesday, and they bow their head in prayer, and they ask the Lord God, and they seek his face on behalf of this church, on behalf of our missionaries, on behalf of their families, and on behalf of prayer needs. You see, God isn't worried about, and you shouldn't be worried about either, whether it's championed, whether it's mentioned, whether it's ever put on a list, but that we find a burden and capture that thing and make it ours and pray until it becomes something that has been successful in heaven and here on earth. Now, as a parent, that's easy to do with a couple of those objectives: your kids, your spouse, your family, your home. Our lack of prayer is one of the biggest reasons that homes fall apart. You realize that, don't you? Stop and think about it. How many divorces would be averted if we just had husbands and wives that prayed together? Even if they're mad at each other, could you imagine continually staying and mad at each other if you're praying together? That doesn't work very well, does it? Somebody's going to get a conviction, and God's going to tell you who's wrong, and you can tell them right then. Straighten that whole thing out. It's amazing how that works. Stand to your feet. Brother John, will you guys come and provide us some music? We want to present the challenge of prayer. We want to teach on prayer, and we want to practice prayer. Those of you who are going to be baptized tonight, you can go ahead and take this opportunity to get ready and dismiss yourself and prepare for our baptismal service. But the rest of you, would you just practice for 5 good solid minutes? And you'd be wherever you want to. You know, there are times when I just think the altar's a pretty cool place to be, but I want you to give you the privilege to be anywhere you want. But will you give God the next 5 minutes? I know that's so easy to do, and you know, if you're staying for the baptism, you're going to be here anyway. So how about using it for really, really good use? Whatever it is. And if you don't have this, I challenge you in the next few minutes to ask this. Be bold and say, God, I'm asking very seriously, what is my burden? What burden do you want me to capture? What thing that will just burn in my heart? Something that I couldn't shake if I had to. Something that will stay with me, walk with me, go with me every moment of the day that I need to be praying for. And God will give you that. I'm convinced that he will. Father, bless the next 5 minutes of this service. Bless the remainder of our days, the rhythm of our lives. God, I pray that somehow tonight, oh God, that prayer would become alive in our hearts. We will eliminate all of those distractions and interferences, that we will be more than courageous in prayer instead of lazy and not participating in prayer. It becomes somebody that won't be all caught up in what we have and what we're trying to have, but we'll just be caught up in you. That we'll be disciplined, oh God, because we know that there's a tremendous reward. Father, help us to do these things tonight. We need you desperately. Prayer is your idea. It was your design. Now allow us to excel in it. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless and anoint our next 5 to 10 minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. These altars are wide open wherever you have. You want to stand, you want to sit, whatever. But please offer up these prayers to our living God and our Lord and our God, our Savior Jesus Christ for the next several moments.